This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There was an unfortunate situation. Do we have a parts unknown guy? To me, this is one of those ones where it's like, okay, because you hear 6'8 guard. Like, this does feel like, okay, if everything checks out clear, like, this could be a big pickup.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of the way I, that's pretty much exactly the way I look at it. So he has played all or parts of five seasons post prep school. And so he started his career at Santa Fe College,
which I also learned is in Gainesville, Florida. I did not have that on my bingo card.
I know. It's so much fun to learn new things. Especially things like that and that come up in this way. But two seasons at Santa Fe College, then a season at the College of Southern Idaho, which is, in fact, in Idaho. And then the past two seasons at UTRGV. Now, he would, you know, conceivably, he would benefit from the Diego Pavia.
Yeah, the JUCO deal. Rule.
Yeah, the JUCO situation. He would get another year, at least another year, because he spent three seasons at a JUCO, or at various JUCOs. But yes, he only played 12 games last season at UTRGV, and I think I know for a fact part of that was injury related. But then once he came back from his injury, he only played a couple more games before he was let go or he left. I still have. I mean, like I've asked. I can't tell you. I've asked probably a dozen people to try and get a handle on what's going on or what was it that prompted him not being with that school anymore. And the closest that I can get is what the coach said at the time, which you read a second ago that he called it an unfortunate situation. I've seen it both ways. I've seen that he was dismissed. I have also seen that he left. Most recently, I'm talking about like within the last hour and a half, I spoke with a reporter who covers UTRGV who told me that the only information that the program released at the time was that, quote, he is no longer with the team. So confusion is still there. We don't know exactly why, what it was that you know, led to him not being with them anymore. You know, there have been some that I've talked to that float the suspicion that it might have been a mutual situation. But we don't know yet. But yes, I feel the exact same way you do about him. If it's nothing crazy and it's all in the past, you know, like this has a chance to work out really, really well for Memphis. He's a 6'8" big guard, wing, whatever you want to call him, who has been doing this for a while at the Division I/junior college level and has been very, very productive. I mean, he scored like 26 against Creighton in a game.
Yeah, you wrote 26 on 11.
Yeah.
And then he had 19 really big, and 8 against Wisconsin.
Yeah, he had a nice game against Wisconsin as well. So, like, he can play. Like that's proven. That's established. And if it goes smoothly and everything, like I said, everything's in the past, then this has the potential to be one of those like, wow, like, you know, like most important moves of the offseason type deal.
So how did he get on Memphis's radar?
You know, I went back and looked. So I've got this, the bosses every year, every offseason, they make us do like a tracker, a transfer tracker thing. And, you know, it's like updated every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And when the offseason began, I remember seeing a report, and I went and found it earlier today. It was on March 25th. There was a report from one of those, you know, portal update.
Yeah, Twitter tracker.
Yeah. Accounts. Yeah, and they mentioned this guy, Hassan Abdul-Hakim, and there were, I don't know, a handful of teams that were attached to him, and Memphis was one of them. But that was literally the last mention until the other day between like with him and Memphis. And so all of a sudden, kind of out of the blue, not only is he back, and not only is he still on Memphis's radar on May, whatever day that was last week, May 1st, May 2nd, he signed. like that deal is done. It is through every clearinghouse it needs to go through, and it is signed and delivered. I honestly, from what I understand, this was solely Penny Hardaway pursuing. Like, he didn't put this in the hands of anybody else. He handled this one directly. That's my understanding. Now, how Hassan ended up on Penny's radar, I'm not sure. You know, that'll be one of the questions we ask the next time we get a chance to talk to Penny. But you know, it happened. I mean, he's from Canada originally, from Toronto, which is somewhat nearby where Baraka Okoje is originally from. I can't imagine that. I imagine that's just a coincidence. But you know, I mean, it, you know, if it works out, then however it works out is, I'm sure they're going to be okay with it.
Okay, the other topic that I want to discuss with you is the status of Dane Danger. Because on the one hand, like even John has said, like there's growing optimism. There's growing optimism. But in the back of my mind, like I just keep wondering, is this a lot like the DeAndre situation where when we first heard that DeAndre was going to apply for a waiver, everyone kind of had the same reaction, which is, feels like a long shot, but there's no reason not to take the shot. Like, you know, what's to lose? And then we kind of had like growing optimism. And then I kind of would trace it back to, it's like a lot of the growing optimism usually centered around Penny being kind of optimistic. Is this different in terms of this situation? Because it does feel like there are more people optimistic, but I just keep wondering if we're going to get right back to the end and we realize like we should have just stuck with our first reaction because that was the most clairvoyant reaction.
Yeah, I mean, so the situations are very much different. I know I've seen some people say that, you know, this is like the DeAndre Williams situation or whatever. It's DeAndre was applying to get his first season at the Division I level back. He claimed that there was some academic misadvisement, if you remember those
buzzwords. Yeah, it was one of those schools that was not credentialed or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yes. His was strictly academic. So it's a completely different scenario from what Dane is trying to do. Dane is trying to get back his second season at Baylor, which turned out to be half season at Baylor, half season in Illinois. He played 3 games, 9 minutes total. He broke his foot the season before that, but the way his mother explained it to me is he wasn't completely fully recovered from the broken foot, and that is what kept him from playing any more than 9 minutes. The transfer has nothing to do with anything, according to them. They simply, it wasn't like he left because he wasn't getting playing time. He left because he wanted to leave. But they're saying that it was the injury that he should get a medical red shirt for that season because he was not over the injury that he suffered the season before. As far as the optimism is concerned, I know, you know, Penny is optimistic and the program is optimistic. And Dane, I think, and his camp are optimistic. But I just don't know. Like, the NCAA does not operate that way. Like, they don't have people within their organization that sort of like give the school or the coaches updates,
right?
Or even have like off the record conversations with the coaches or with the school administrators, the compliance officers. None of like that doesn't happen. They don't, you know, like it's not like they've heard something recently,
right? Anybody, an update that would give them cause.
Yeah, no, like that doesn't happen. So I feel like, you know, and I have not heard anything about necessarily growing optimism. I mean, I've seen it, but I've heard it. I know that there are people who do feel better and feel good about Dane's situation, but like when you ask, you know, like why do you feel that way? Nobody really has an answer. So I think it's just like, you know, I think there is a good amount of hoping upon hope that he gets the waiver and maybe he will. Like there's certainly a chance until it's taken away. But everything that I know and that I've been told up until this point is that it is still very much a long shot. And until I hear otherwise, that's kind of what I have to go on.
Yeah, and to be clear, when I was comparing it to DeAndre, it was less about the merits of the waiver. It was more about the emotional. Like, remember, like it was like a there was kind of like a roller coaster that went with it. I was like, man, this kind of rhymes with that.
Yeah, and I think I feel the same way. Like that's what comes to mind as well. Like that, I go back to that time when it was like. It felt like the longer it took to hear something back, you felt like, well, certainly that must mean that they're like really digging into it, like almost like a jury in a verdict. Like if it comes back quick, you know, it's probably not good. I just wonder if maybe that's not what we're dealing with here. That like the longer it goes, the more people are like, oh, well, they must be really. Researching it and considering it and poring over it and all that stuff. And maybe that's where the optimism is coming from. I don't know.
All right. And then also you've written that PJ Haggerty has received an invite to the NBA scouting combine. So he's one of 75 to get the invite. Still not committed, although it does feel like NC State's picking up a lot of traction. Although I'd point out this time last week, there was a lot of Ole Miss traction too. So I don't really know where to go. I guess my question for you is, where do you think PJ stands right now?
I think he stands on the NBA. I think I know I've talked to enough people to know who are familiar with like his line of thinking, to know that he legitimately like goal priority one for him is the NBA. Like he's working out for teams. Jeff Goodman reported last week that he was working out for the Celtics. I spoke to someone who told me that he had at least three other workouts with NBA teams lined up between, you know, like after the Celtics workout and before the combine, which starts, I think, May 11th.
I believe Mark is covering that, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. I've already told him, hey, you know, bone up on your Memphis because you're going to need to do a story or two for us. So we'll see if that happens. But NBA is priority one. Like if he, depending on what he hears at the combine and in these workouts, is going to determine a lot about his future. Like, I think if he hears from enough people anything remotely close to being drafted, whether that's mid second round, high second round, low second round, like I think he may roll the dice, like and stay in the draft. if he hears that from enough people, and if it sounds, you know, like if they trust what they're hearing, like I'm not ruling that out. I don't think anybody should rule that out, the possibility that he will stay in the draft. Now, I think that is unlikely. I do not, you know, I think a lot of people think that is unlikely, that he is going to stay in the draft. You know, and at that point, I know that there's all these crystal balls and all these predictions that are being tossed around about NC State and 100% confidence level and this and that. It's like, I just talk to me when it's done.